ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ
And now, Chapter 7 of the Adi Leela. Let me first offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the ultimate goal of life for one bereft of all possessions in this material world, and is the only meaning for one advancing in spiritual life. Thus let me write about his magnanimous contribution of devotional service in love of God. Let me offer glorification to the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who has taken shelter of his lotus feet is the most glorified person. In the beginning, I have discussed the truth about the spiritual master. Now I shall try to explain the Panchatattva. These five tattvas incarnate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus the Lord executes his Sankirtan movement with great pleasure. Spiritually, there are no differences between these five tattvas, for on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet there are also varieties in the spiritual world. And in order to taste these spiritual varieties, one should distinguish between them. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested himself in five, as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, the Supreme Controller. No one is greater than or equal to Sri Krishna, yet He appears as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme enjoyer in the Ras Dance. He is the leader of the damsels of Braj, and all others are simply his associates. The selfsame Lord Krishna advented himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all his eternal associates, who are also equally glorious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the supreme controller, the one personality of Godhead, has ecstatically become a devotee, yet his body is transcendental and not materially tinged. The transcendental mellow of conjugal love of Krishna is so wonderful that Krishna himself accepts the form of a devotee to relish and taste it fully. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme teacher, accepts the form of a devotee and accepts Lord Nityananda as his elder brother. Sri Advaitacharya is Lord Chaitanya's incarnation as a devotee. Therefore, these three tattvas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Gosani, are the predominators or masters. One of them is Mahaprabhu, or Supreme Master, and the other two are Prabhus, or Masters. These two Prabhus serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. The three predominators, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu, are worshipable by all living entities. And the fourth principle, Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, is to be understood as their worshipper. There are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord, headed by Srivas Thakur, who are known as unalloyed devotees. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are to be considered incarnations of the potency of the Lord. They are internal potential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. The internal devotees or potencies are all eternal associates in the pastimes of the Lord. Only with them does the Lord advent to propound the Sankirtan movement. Only with them does the Lord taste the mellow of conjugal love. And only with them does he distribute this love of God to people in general. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his other associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarine love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. The flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions, and thus young men, old men, women, and children were all immersed in that inundation. The Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead, and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. The more the five members of the Panchatattva caused the rains of love of Godhead to fall, the more the inundation increases and spreads all over the world. The impersonalists, fruitive workers, false logicians, blasphemers, non-devotees, and lowest among the student community are very expert in avoiding the Krishna consciousness movement, and therefore the inundation of Krishna consciousness cannot touch them. Seeing that the Mayavadis and others were fleeing, Lord Chaitanya thought, I wanted everyone to be immersed in this inundation of love of Godhead, but some of them have escaped. Therefore, I shall devise a trick to drown them also. Thus the Lord accepted the sannyas order of life after full consideration. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in household life for 24 years, and on the verge of his 25th year, he accepted the sannyas order. After accepting the sannyas order, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted the attention of all those who had evaded him, beginning with the logicians. Thus the students, infidels, fruitive workers, and critics all came to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya excused them all, and they merged into the ocean of devotional service, for no one can escape the unique loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to deliver all the fallen souls. Therefore, he devised many methods to liberate them from the clutches of Maya. All were converted into devotees of Lord Chaitanya, even the Malechas and Yavanas, or meat-eaters and miscreants. Only the impersonalist followers of Sankaracharya evaded him. While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through Varanasi on his way to Vrindavan, the Mayavadi sannyasi philosophers blasphemed against him in many ways. One of them said,
"Although a sannyasi, he does not take interest in the study of Vedanta, but instead always engages in chanting and dancing in Sankirtan. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an illiterate sannyasi, and therefore does not know his real function. Guided only by his sentiments, he wanders about in the company of other sentimentalists."
Hearing all this blasphemy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merely smiled to himself, rejected all these accusations, and did not talk with the Mayavadis. Thus, neglecting the blasphemy of the Varanasi Mayavadis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded to Mathura, and after visiting Mathura, he returned to meet the situation. This time, Lord Chaitanya stayed at the house of Chandrasekhara, although he was regarded as a Shudra or Kayasta, for the Lord, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is completely independent. As a matter of principle, Lord Chaitanya regularly accepted his food at the house of Tapan Mishra. He never mixed with other sannyasis, nor did he accept invitations from them. When Sanatan Goswami came from Bengal, he met Lord Chaitanya at the house of Tapan Mishra, where Lord Chaitanya remained continuously for 2 months to teach him devotional service. On the basis of the scriptures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, which revealed these confidential directions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatan Goswami regarding all the regular activities of a devotee. While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatan Goswami, both Chandrasekhara and Tapan Mishra became very unhappy. Therefore, they submitted an appeal unto the lotus feet of the Lord. One of them said,
"How long can we tolerate the blasphemy of your critics against your conduct? We should give up our lives rather than hear such blasphemy. The Mayavadi sannyasis are all criticizing your holiness. We cannot tolerate hearing such criticism, for this blasphemy breaks our hearts."
While Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhara were thus talking with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only smiled slightly and remained silent. At that time, a Brahmin came there to meet the Lord. The Brahmin immediately fell at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requested him to accept his proposal in a joyful mood.
"My dear Lord, I have invited all the sannyasis of Benares to my home. My desires will be fulfilled if you also accept my invitation. My dear Lord, I know that you never mix with other sannyasis, but please be merciful unto me and accept my invitation."
Lord Chaitanya smiled and accepted the invitation of the Brahmin. He made this gesture to show his mercy to the Mayavadi sannyasis. The Brahmin knew that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never went to anyone else's house, yet, due to inspiration from the Lord, he earnestly requested him to accept this invitation. The next day, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of that Brahmin,
he saw all the sannyasis of Benares sitting there. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the sannyasis, he immediately offered obeisances, and then he went to wash his feet. After washing his feet, he sat down by the place where he had done so. After sitting on the ground, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mystic power and effulgence as brilliant as the illumination of millions of suns. When the sannyasis saw the brilliant illumination of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their minds were attracted, and they all immediately gave up their sitting places and stood in respect. The leader of all the Mayabadi sannyasis present was named Prakashananda Sarasvati, and after standing up, he addressed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows with great respect.
"Please come here. Please come here, Your Holiness. Why do you sit in that unclean place? What has caused your lamentation?"
The Lord replied, "I belong to a lower order of sannyasis. Therefore, I do not deserve to sit with you." Prakashananda Sarasvati, however, caught Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally by the hand and seated him with great respect in the midst of the assembly. Prakashananda Sarasvati then said,
"I understand that your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You are a disciple of Sri Keshava Bhadati, and therefore you are glorious. You belong to our Shankara Sampradaya and live in our village, Varanasi. Why then do you not associate with us? Why is it that you avoid even seeing us? You are a sannyasi. Why then do you indulge in chanting and dancing, engaging in your Sankirtan movement in the company of fanatics? Meditation and the study of Vedanta are the sole duties of a sannyasi. Why do you abandon these to dance with fanatics? You look as brilliant as if you were Narayan himself. Will you kindly explain the reason that you have adopted the behavior of lower-class people?"
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Prakashananda Sarasvati, "My dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. 'You are a fool,' he said. 'You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. In this age of Kali, there is no other religious principle than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures." After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse, advising me to always keep the name within my throat. It goes like this: "In this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative for spiritual progress than the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. Since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I think that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I have been bewildered. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh and cry and dance and sing just like a madman. Collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that chanting the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name, and I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. I said, 'My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra.' Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes one to dance, laugh, and cry." When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. He said, "It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. Religiosity,
economic development, sense gratification, and liberation are known as the four goals of life. But before love of Godhead, the fifth and highest goal, these appear as insignificant as straw in the street. For a devotee who has actually developed Bhav, the pleasure derived from Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha appears like a drop in the presence of the sea. The conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have already done so. It is a characteristic of love of Godhead that by nature it induces transcendental symptoms in one's body and makes one more and more greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes chants, and sometimes runs here and there just like a madman. Perspiration, trembling, standing of one's bodily hairs, tears, faltering, fading, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, and humility. These are various natural symptoms of ecstatic love of Godhead, which causes a devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam, for by this process you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. Saying this, my spiritual master taught me one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore, he instructed me this verse again and again. It goes like this. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord, alone and in the association of devotees. That holy name of Lord Krishna sometimes causes me to chant and dance, and therefore I chant and dance. Please do not think that I intentionally do it. I do it automatically. Compared to the ocean of transcendental bliss, which is tasted by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization or Brahmananda is like the shallow water in a canal. My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoof print of a calf. After hearing Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Mayavadi sannyasis were moved. Their minds changed, and thus they spoke with pleasing words.
Dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what you have said is all true. Only one who is favored by fortune attains love of Godhead. Dear sir, there is no objection to your being a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Everyone is satisfied with this. But why do you avoid discussion on the Vedanta Sutra? What is the fault in it?
After hearing the Mayavadi sannyasi speak in that way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled slightly and said, "My dear sirs, if you don't mind, I can say something to you regarding Vedanta philosophy."
Hearing this, the Mayavadi sannyasis became somewhat humble and addressed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayan himself, who they all agreed he was. One of them said,
"Dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to tell you the truth, we are greatly pleased to hear your words. And furthermore, your bodily features are so pleasing that we feel extraordinary satisfaction in seeing you. Dear sir, by your influence, our minds are greatly satisfied, and we believe that your words will never be unreasonable. Therefore, you can speak on Vedanta Sutra."
The Lord said, "Vedanta philosophy consists of words spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, in the form of Vyasadeva. The material defects of mistakes, illusions, cheating, and sensory inefficiency do not exist in the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Absolute Truth is described by the Upanishads and Brahma Sutra, but one must understand the verses as they are. That is the supreme glory in understanding." Sripad Sankaracharya has described all the Vedic literatures in terms of indirect meanings. One who hears such explanations is ruined. Sankaracharya is not at fault, for he has thus covered the real purpose of the Vedas under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to direct understanding, the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has all spiritual opulences. No one can be equal to or greater than Him. Everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual, including His body, opulence, and paraphernalia. Mayavad philosophy, however, covering His spiritual opulence, advocates the theory of impersonalism. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of spiritual potencies. Therefore, His body, name, fame, and entourage are all spiritual. The Mayavadi philosopher, due to ignorance, says that these are all merely transformations of the material mode of goodness. Sankaracharya, who is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, is faultless because he is a servant carrying out the orders of the Lord. But those who follow his Mayavadi philosophy are doomed. They will lose their advancement in spiritual knowledge. One who considers the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu to be made of material nature is the greatest offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. There is no greater blasphemy against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is like a great blazing fire, and the living entities are like small sparks of that fire. The living entities are energies, not the energetic. The energetic is Krishna. This is very vividly described in Bhagavad Gita, the Vishnu Purana, and other Vedic literatures. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Besides the inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which is all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe." The potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories, namely the spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. The Mayavad philosophy is so degraded that it has taken the insignificant living entities to be the Lord, the Supreme Truth, thus covering the glory and supremacy of the Absolute Truth with monism. According to Sankaracharya, by accepting the theory of the transformation of the energy of the Lord, one creates an illusion by indirectly accepting that the Absolute is transformed. Transformation of energy is a proven fact. It is the false bodily conception of the self that is an illusion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is opulent in all respects. Therefore, by His inconceivable energies, He has transformed the material cosmic manifestation. Using the example of a touchstone, which by its energy turns iron to gold and yet remains the same, we can understand that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead transforms His innumerable energies, He remains unchanged. Although touchstone produces many varieties of valuable jewels, it nevertheless remains the same. It does not change its original form. If there is such inconceivable potency in material objects, why should we not believe in the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Vedic sound vibration, Omkar, the principal word in the Vedic literatures, is the basis of all Vedic vibrations. Therefore, one should accept Omkar as the sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the reservoir of the cosmic manifestation. It is the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to present pranava or Omkar as the reservoir of all Vedic knowledge. The words Tat Tvam Asi are only a partial explanation of the Vedic knowledge. Pranava or Omkar is the Mahavakya or Mahamantra in the Vedas. Sankaracharya's followers cover this to stress, without authority, the mantra Tat Tvam Asi. In all the Vedic sutras and literatures, it is Lord Krishna who is to be understood, but the followers of Sankaracharya have covered the real meaning of the Vedas with indirect explanations. The self-evident Vedic literatures are the highest evidence of all, but if these literatures are interpreted, their self-evident nature is lost. The Mayavad school, giving up the real, easily understood meaning of Vedic literature, has introduced indirect meanings, based on their imaginative powers, to prove their philosophy. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus showed for each and every sutra the defects in Sankaracharya's explanations, all the assembled Mayavadi sannyasis were struck with wonder. All the Mayavadi sannyasis said, "Your Holiness, kindly know from us that we actually have no quarrel with your refutation of these meanings, for you have given a clear understanding of the sutras. We know that all this word jugglery springs from the imagination of Sankaracharya, and yet we belong to his sect, so we accept it, although it does not satisfy us." "Now let us see," the Mayavadi sannyasis continued, "how well you can describe the sutras in terms of their direct meaning." Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his direct explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. Brahman, who is greater than the greatest, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is full of six opulences, and therefore he is the reservoir of ultimate truth and absolute knowledge. In his original form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of transcendental opulences, which are free from the contamination of the material world. It is to be understood that in all Vedic literature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal. When we speak of the Supreme as impersonal, we deny His spiritual potencies. Logically, if you accept half of the truth, you cannot understand the whole. It is only by devotional service, beginning with hearing, that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the only means to approach Him. By practicing this regulated devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, certainly one awakens his dormant love of Godhead. This process is called Abhideya. If one develops his love of Godhead and becomes attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, gradually he loses his attachment to everything else. Love of Godhead is so exalted that it is considered to be the fifth goal of human life. By awakening one's love of Godhead, one can attain the platform of conjugal love, tasting it even during the present span of life. The Supreme Lord, who is greater than the greatest, becomes submissive to even a very insignificant devotee because of his devotional service. It is the beautiful and exalted nature of devotional service that the infinite Lord becomes submissive to the infinitesimal living entity because of it. In reciprocal devotional activities with the Lord, the devotee actually enjoys the transcendental mellow quality of devotional service. One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, activities in terms of that relationship, and the ultimate goal of life, or to develop love of God, these three subjects are explained in every code of the Vedanta Sutra, for they form the culmination of the entire Vedanta philosophy. When all the Mayabadi sannyasis thus heard the explanation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the basis of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan, they spoke very humbly. One said,
"Dear sir, you are Vedic knowledge personified and are directly Narayan himself. Kindly excuse us for the offenses we previously committed by criticizing you."
From that moment, when the Mayavadi sannyasis heard the explanation of Vedanta Sutra from the Lord, their minds changed, and on the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too chanted Krishna, Krishna, always. Thus Lord Chaitanya excused all the offenses of the Mayavadi sannyasis and very mercifully blessed them with Krishna Nam, or the name of Krishna. After this, all the sannyasis took the Lord in their midst, and thus they all took their meal together.
After taking lunch among the Mayavadi sannyasis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gauda Sundara, returned to his residence. Thus the Lord performs his wonderful pastimes. Hearing the arguments of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and seeing his victory, Chandrasekhara, Tapan Mishra, and Sanatan were all extremely pleased. Many Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi came to see the Lord after this incident, and the entire city praised him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the city of Varanasi, and all of its people were very thankful. The crowd at the door of his residence was so great that it numbered hundreds and thousands. When the Lord went to visit the temple of Vishveshvara, hundreds and thousands of people assembled to see him. Whenever Lord Chaitanya went to the banks of the Ganges to take bath, big crowds of many hundreds and thousands of people also assembled there. Whenever the crowds were too great, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up, raised his hands and chanted, "Hari, Hari," to which all the people again responded, filling both the land and sky with the vibration. After thus delivering the people in general, the Lord desired to leave Varanasi. After instructing Sri Sanatan Goswami, he sent him toward Vrindavan. Because the city of Varanasi was always full of tumultuous crowds, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after sending Sanatan to Vrindavan, returned to Jagannath Puri. I have here given a brief account of these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, but later I shall describe them in an extensive way. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates of the Panchatattva distributed the holy name of the Lord to invoke love of Godhead throughout the universe, and thus the entire universe was thankful. Lord Chaitanya dispatched the two generals, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, to Vrindavan to preach the bhakti cult. As Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were sent toward Mathura, so Nityananda Prabhu was sent to Bengal to preach extensively the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went to South India, and he broadcast the holy name of Lord Krishna in every village and town. Thus, the Lord went to the southernmost tip of the Indian peninsula, known as Setu Banda or Cape Comorin. Everywhere he distributed the bhakti cult and love of Krishna, and in this way he delivered everyone. I thus explain the truth of the Panchatattva. One who hears this explanation increases in knowledge of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While chanting the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, one must chant the names of Sri Chaitanya, Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhara, and Srivas with their many devotees. This is the process. I again and again offer obeisances unto the Panchatattva. Thus I think that I will be able to describe something about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends Chapter 7 of the Adi Leela.